This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Good morning. Scott Wells here for the MagicWordPodcast.com. And yes, it is early in the morning again, and we are heading to a convention that is going, to be TRIX, T-R-I-C-S, which is the three C's, the Carolina Close-Up Convention in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm heading out here this morning in the wee hours of the morning, as usual, and leaving out of Austin Airport, one of my least favorite airports. It doesn't have a Dunkin' Donuts, so poor me, I know. I have to get by with just decaf Starbucks. And anyhow, so it is a great convention I'm looking forward to that's going to be hosted by Scott Robinson and his Slight Club. They have just a lot of great people that I haven't seen before, some young people, which is exciting because a lot of conventions, it seems like, are just older people or people who used to be old and died off or just stopped coming or whatever. And so conventions seem to be kind of dwindling down a little bit, fewer and fewer people attending. But I'm still going to a few, and had quite a few this year, and this is the last one for the year because it's here in November. A lot of other conventions are happening. In fact, the same weekend is the NEMCA, which is the New England Magic Collectors Association, the Yankee Gathering up in Nashua, New Hampshire. And that is going to be a great convention. This particular episode, by the way, is sponsored by the New York Magic Conference, which is going to be coming up in Douglaston, which is in Queens, New York area, New York City, and it is a conference coming up on the 16th, one-day deal that will be $85 at the door, but $65 in advance, and you can get more information on the website here at themagicwordpodcast.com, and we'll talk a little bit more about it when I get a chance to chat with Richard Cohen later on in this podcast. So this is going to be a combination here that you're going to hear in this episode of 2 days, actually a day and a half, because the convention officially starts this evening. That's Thursday night. By the time that I get from Austin to Chicago, have a layover, and then get into Charlotte, and then get over to the hosting hotel, get checked in, supposed to be rooming with Charlie Randall of H&R Magic Books, going to meet up with him there. And then the first lecture tonight, I think, is going to be with Ed Ellis. I'd forgotten who else is going to be on. They usually have a couple of activities on Thursday night, and then a full day of activities beginning early tomorrow morning. I think the dealers start to open a little bit tonight, as well as people start to come in for the convention. Again, this is a really great convention, and I have been coming for the last 3 or 4 years, and if you are a close-up guy and you haven't been able to get into Fechter's Finger Flicking Frolic, into the 4F convention, this is maybe about as close as you can come, because a lot of the same guys who go to that convention appear here, and a lot of times will be on the bill. In fact, this year's guest of honor is going to be none other than Paul Gertner. He's going to do his full one-man show. And we're going to have Shudo Ogawa, Bernardo Sedlicek, as I mentioned, Ed Ellis. We're going to be having several, I think Rocco is going to be there, so and plus several others. It's just going to be really good. Great little convention. I say little because it's about 100 people, and that pretty much maxes out. They don't have a lot of room for people. That's the same reason that the 4F convention got to be restricted and quickly, and everybody wanted to be there, but there was just not enough room for everybody to be able to see, obviously, all of the close-up magic that was going on. Well, anyhow, I'm here to catch my magic carpet. That's Southwest Airlines that I'm going to be heading out, and have a little bit of sip of my decaf coffee here. Yeah, that is some good coffee. And what I got instead of a donut then this morning is going to have a blueberry muffin. That's supposed to be healthy, right? Blueberry is supposed to be antioxidant for you. Trying to eat healthier. How about that, guys and gals? Anywho, that's all there is to say here from Austin. Going to be jumping on the plane here very shortly. And I will see you once we get to Charlotte. This is Scotty out. We have finally arrived over here at the Trix convention. Got checked in at the hotel, got also my convention badge, and just walked into the dealer's room, and it's already starting to hop. A lot of people have been coming in. It's getting closer to 6 o'clock. We're now at about 4. It's almost 5 o'clock. Got about another hour before Ed Ellis's first lecture. But one of the first people I had run into was Rocco, and Rocco said, "Hey, you got to come over here and talk to Roy Coopers." And Roy's got, so I got him right now. Hey, Roy, how are you?
Hey, I'm great, Scott. Good to see you. Glad to be here.
And so, have you been a dealer here before?
No, never at this convention. I've wanted to for many years, just never really worked with my schedule, but this time we made it happen.
Because I know you've been at other, like Magic Live and a few other conventions.
Yeah, yeah. I don't do a lot, Scott.
No, you don't.
Four or five, I'd say, something like, four or five. I'm in Vegas, so I always do Magic Live. That's a big one. But no, I'm really excited to be here. And I mean, looking like a good crowd. Yeah. And it's exciting.
It's just getting started. Yeah. And you're coming to the right place because, again, at Magic Live, you've got a lot of people who have different interests, general interest in magic, basically. But here, it's a close-up convention. And so a lot of people are interested in this. So I think you're going to do extremely well over here.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
What kind of new products have you got this year?
So as you mentioned, Rocco's here. And him and I have been producing products together for about 7 or 8 years. So we got a couple new things. And Rocco's going to be displaying those in his close-up show and his lecture. He's going to be talking about them and performing them there as well. And we have some with us here, so they're for sale. And other than that, always new things, Scott. Always working on something. That's what keeps me going.
Now, I want to talk briefly also. If we sit down and talk like for a full episode, this will be something we probably go into a lot more detail about, and that is the fact that you've had your name ripped off. Coopers, and they've used, instead of like K-U-E-P-P-E-R-S, which is the way you're spelling it,
they were
spelling it a different way or whatever. Wasn't that right or something? Someone, they were developing coins, and you had some issues or lawsuit.
Yes.
Or, you can be brief about that if you want to talk about that.
Sure, okay. Sure. I won't go into too much detail, but actually the spelling was not different.
Oh, it was the same.
It was exactly the same. They stole my logo, my name, and something I just want to mention for people that are hearing this is that we don't always think that our name can get ripped off. It's not something we commonly think about, but you know, I didn't own a trademark to my name. My name's not trademarked by me. So the person or people that did this obviously did a search and said, "Hey, Roy Coopers is not trademarked." And for $400, they own my name, and I didn't.
Wow.
So I spent a lot of money. I now own my name. The trademark's been taken away. I still don't know who those individuals were, but there's been a lot of damage done, and you can't repair that. I'm still restricted to use a name where it was branded while they owned the trademark. So it gets really complicated. I mean, we can get into more detail, but it was a sad deal. But as much as it bothered me, I just, you know, you hit the ground running, Scott. You keep going, and you do what you can. So,
well, that is some good advice you've said right there as far as trying to copyright. Now, when you went about that, there's really not much to it. Do you do that on a website then, or do you get some papers?
No, I actually had to get a lawyer to do that. The trademark office will appoint a lawyer. It has to be done through a lawyer to be done properly.
Okay.
And again, I strongly advise it. For anybody, you know, I don't consider myself a celebrity or a big name by any means, but big enough that this happens. So even the little guys can be ripped off.
That's a very good point. I was talking to my friend Banachek, who had said many years ago that he had his name copyrighted and branded and everything because he didn't want people to use his name.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing he did at the time. And I'm sure a lot of other people, I don't care if you're Matt King or people at a certain level who have a well-known name or one who may not be as well-known. I mean, particularly if you're trying to create a brand and something like in your case where that you're going to be selling something and it has some level of uniqueness, I guess, in a niche market that people come to you and they respect Cooper's coins as being a high quality kind of a thing. It's not like there are a lot of other coin people. I mean, yes, there are, but I mean, it's still a niche within a niche kind of a thing.
Right.
So it's important, I think, for you to brand yourself if you're like the birthday party magician in Phoenix, Arizona, you know, and you want to be Birthday Bob or something, you should get that copyrighted. And so that's why I was curious when you said you had actually gone through an attorney. So that's the proper way to do it.
That is the proper way to do it. Yeah. So I've been doing this 35 years, Scott, and I I just didn't think, again, I didn't think this could happen. It was easily done. And even my lawyers that I hired to get that trademark taken away from that person or those people, you know, said that that lawyer had to be shady because they didn't do their due diligence, or they would have realized there's only one Roy Coopers with my spelling in the world, and why was I not contacted? You know, like this person in 2017 pops up with that name. I've been, you know, manufacturing under that name, my own name, for 35 years. So it, you know, you got to be careful. There's a lot of fraud in the world in every respect. So, you know, you got to really watch your back.
And you never know also when a brand or a name is going to take off.
Right.
You know, it may be something that before long it's like, man, I should have done that. And if you don't, somebody else will.
Right, absolutely.
Good advice. So you're enjoying the convention. Again, you just got here, and so got a lot of product in right now. And with Rocco, you're going to be, I'm sure he's going to be able to help sell the heck out of some of
this stuff. Yeah, I would think so. And then he's definitely a great headliner and a good guy. He's been in the business a long, long time. I've worked with Rocco for many, many years. He's been a friend for a long time.
Yeah.
Think the world of him. And any convention that has Rocco,
you got to go.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And there's other good names here, too. There's other, you know, you got a good lineup.
That's right. Shooter Gal is over here. Of course, Paul Gertner's the guest of honor. Bernardo Sedlicek, Ed Ellis. I mean, just a lot of people who are here.
Yep. Yeah. Great convention. You're lucky to have all these people.
Yep. And again, good close-up convention. I'm looking forward to seeing a bunch of people here performing. Again, getting ready to lecture. See the lecture here shortly. Roy, good talking to you. Thank you very much. Good luck.
Thank you, Scott.
I think you got maybe an order over here. Somebody wants to talk to you. All right.
All right.
For the Magic Word Podcast, that was Roy Coopers. Scotty out. Well, it only makes sense. Obviously, we were just talking to Roy Coopers, and I was saying that Rocco was the one who drug me over here to talk with Roy, and I'm glad he did. We had a nice little chat there, and so now I've got Rocco with me. Hey there, Rocco. Hey, man.
Hello, man. You know, you're above genius, Scott. Congratulations to what you're bringing the magic. You're the eye of the storm.
Thank you.
You keep everything current and present. Everybody knows Scott. I said, you got to talk to Roy, because he's the king of coins.
He is, and I guess because he's in Vegas, and you are too, that you kind of hang out.
No, I go back and forth now. Now I'm getting ready to leave.
Between New York, between the city and
New Jersey.
New Jersey.
That's
sorry.
Where my
sorry.
Mother and my sisters are in New Jersey. I was in Vegas 2 weeks ago at the Ahern Hotel.
I know you've been working at the Ahern with
them. Yeah.
That's where we talked actually for our podcast last time.
Exactly. I go there every 3 months to do them 2 or 3 weeks. But now Franz Ferrari got a new show in Hong Kong. You know about it?
No, I didn't. Tell me about that.
He's going to start December 23rd. We leave December 11th. Franz Ferrari, the same show that was in Sanya, China. When the coronavirus came, we had to stop and leave.
Yeah.
He sold it to Hong Kong now. So we'll be there until April. Then I'm going to see you at Fectors. I'm coming to Fectors April 27th, April 24th. Yeah.
And then you go back over there then again.
Then I'm going to go back over there. The Copperfield wants some magic lessons. He wants me to teach him the Slidini silks. So I'm going to spend some time with him, show him how to tie knots.
Yeah.
Last time I was there, he called me. He's a real sweet guy.
Yeah.
I got all another respect for David Copperfield.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, I've always had respect for him, but why do you have even renewed respect
now? I'll show you a picture in my phone of when we took a picture together.
Yeah.
And I'm here like this, with two pair of delays in my hand, and I didn't notice, but David Copperfield's like this behind my back.
With a camera, you mean?
Well, no, with a stump.
With a stump down?
Thumb down.
Okay.
Without me seeing. So when I looked at the picture, I said, why would Copperfield give me thumbs down? Maybe he don't like me. I thought this for years and years and years.
Yeah.
So last month, I was in my hotel room. He called me up. He says, I'd like to take you out to dinner tonight. So he took me out to dinner. I said, why did you want to take me out to dinner? He says, so many people admire you. You're a great magician. I wanted to get to know you better. I said, David, look at this picture. I showed him the picture.
Can you explain this to me? What's up with that?
You know what he said? He said it a dozen times. Why did I do that? I don't know, Dave. I couldn't show this picture to my mother. If I said I met David Copperfield, instead of you going like this, like I'm
thumbs
away,
up. He's giving you
thumbs down.
Yeah.
He goes, why did I do that? Can you send that picture to me? Why would I do that? I don't know, but I thought you didn't like me. That's why I was taking a picture. He says, why did I do that? So he takes me in the museum, and there's my picture in the museum up there.
He obviously likes you.
He does. So then he wrote a little thing. He says some stuff. And I like him, too. He's Jewish. I gave him a rosary bead. He accepted it because he is a man of God, because you weren't given this much talent and this much of a gift.
If you gave me a rosary bead, which I hang by my microphone at home when I record it.
just talking about it.
Yeah.
This all is going to come into play later when we meet the creation, the creator universe, and try to understand what real divine supernatural wonders are.
Yeah.
We just experiment with it. You mean this is it? This is just experiment. What is all happening? So we're just talking about him. Yes, he's a nice guy. And he told me he wants to learn the Slidini silks. Is anybody out there that wants to learn the Slidini silks? Come to one of my lectures. I'd like to teach it to you. You keep hanging out with Scott here. He's going to give you all the new news that's going on in magic.
I'm glad to get that little bit of news about you working then with Franz for that upcoming show. Because I knew the two of you were really killing it. Because Franz doing illusions and you're acting. When you were going through China, the people were absolutely loving it. That was what Mike Miller was telling me about.
I was cheating a little bit, because when you start producing $100 bills and you all of a sudden your people from the back of the room start running up to the front to grab what
you got. Because they want the bill?
And then,
that's funny.
And then when you're producing gum, and all the little kids want a piece of gum, then the mothers start fighting in the audience because they want the gum for their own kids. It creates excitement, I guess.
Sure.
That's
does.
Why they want me.
Well, you're an exciting performer. I'm like
the Santa Claus of magic, Scott.
Well, thank you very much.
God bless you. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Hello to everyone. All right?
This is the Magic Word Podcast. That was Rocco.
Scotty out.
We just finished the evening shows. Actually, we've had a pretty good lineup. I mean, a full lineup already that started again on Thursday evening. 6 o'clock kicked off with a lecture by Ed Ellis. And then we had just a short break. We went over to the dealer's room and then came back for a lecture from our newcomer, who was Robinson.
His Colin name? Robinson.
Colin Robinson.
No relation,
no
by
relation
the way,
to
me.
Okay, to Scott Robinson.
Nope.
And then we finished off then at 9:30 to 10:30 with David Parr. And each of them were completely different from each other and different kind of expertise that each taught. And it was just a packed room. And speaking of a packed room, I've got the person who packs them in every year. This being the 15th year. I've got with me the organizer, Scott Robinson. Hello, Scott.
Hello, Scott Wells. I am so happy to be talking to you again.
Well, are you excited about this particular convention?
I am.
Yeah.
I am. I think when we look at the lineup, top to bottom, it is pretty amazing.
It really is.
It really is amazing. Last year, the lineup was
I didn't know if you were going to be able to top that. I mean, you know, with Danny Garcia and everybody, you had was
it was John Allen, John Armstrong. It just kept going on and on and on. And I felt the same way.
Yeah.
I was like, what am I going to do next year?
Yeah, lightning in a bottle.
And I decided to go international and pick fantastic performers that were international that definitely don't get to the East Coast and the South.
I don't
ever
see Shudogawa out here, for an example.
Yep.
And he's been in Hawaii for quite a while.
Yep,
I
and
guess,
he
here,
flew late, so. In from Shanghai.
Did he?
For this, Yeah, he did a show in Shanghai 2 days ago and just flew back.
And Bernardo Sedlacek from Brazil.
Yep.
And,
they were on the same show.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, they were.
Coincidental.
Yeah. So it's the lineup is great, but what makes it, you see it, the energy in the room.
Oh, my gosh,
the audience is amazing.
And I like the age group also. I've got to say the median age is probably late 40s, maybe.
Yeah. So it's not as old as us.
It's not, that's right. Not a lot of old white-haired guys who are there. There are a lot of young people.
Yep.
And it's great whenever you come in the lobby and you see everybody sessioning and young guys. And you even got a room set over for the Slight Club.
Yeah, we do. So got a session room. So when things are going on, if people want to go down there, they can hang out down there.
Yeah.
The dealers are good this year. You know, we have
about 10 dealers.
This year. Yep. Just the right aside for our, we have about 160 people here this year, not counting the talent.
Yeah.
The talent we, you know.
I just talked to Roy Coopers, and he said this was his first year here, and he was coming because Rocco was going to be here.
Exactly. Yeah, so I didn't even know Roy was coming. I knew Rocco was coming, of course, and then Roy called me and said, hey, Scott, I'm coming down with Rocco. So it was cool. I was glad to have him.
Yeah. So 160 people here.
Yep.
Is that more or less than what you've had in the past? Or
it's more than I like.
Yeah, because you've got overflowed just outside.
Yeah, but it's also, you know, you'd rather have a room packed.
Sure, that's a good
point. Then,
well, you do because you're on the public shows because you do bring in the public.
Yeah, and we rearranged the room, and we'll get about 15 more seats in here. I know that it sounds impossible, but that's what happens. So, it's going to be about 160, 165, and then, you know, some change.
Yeah.
You know. So what have you thought?
Well, so far it's been great. I mean, again, after I've had an opportunity to see everybody. I mean, as I'm coming through, it's kind of like, hey, Bill, hey, John, you know, just there's so many different people. But because it is intimate from the standpoint of all about 160 people, it's more than just, hey, John. It's like, hey, how have you been doing?
Yep.
What's been happening? I get a chance to have a quality
everyone
conversation.
Everyone knows each other.
And they do. Everybody here knows each other because they've been coming for a while.
Wow. And this year we had 40 new people.
Now, I was about to say, that's amazing.
It's an amazing number, right? We've never had that percentage. You know, I'm a data guy, so I track the percentages of this stuff each year. This is the highest percentage we've ever had.
Okay.
And it's great. And what I love about it is the people that have been coming here for so long, they just welcome the new people in with open arms.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a session convention.
Yeah.
You know, I think I've told you this before. What happens in the lecture room and in the showroom is the glue for what happens in the during the session. So it gives people something to talk about and discuss and debate or whatever. And the sessioning has been fantastic, and we're in day one, or day half, I guess.
Well, I think we have to have time to session because, for example, the two of the guys that talked tonight, like Ed Ellis was saying, okay, showed some really great card tricks. He said, well, that's just a couple of double lifts, and there, and bada bing, there you go.
Yeah.
And that's all he said, quite literally, without actually demonstrating everything, you know. And it was, like, really good. And so the point is, he said, I'm going to be around, so I'll be able to show it to you. He said, I got so much material. Normally, it's a couple hours that I talk.
Yeah.
And he said, I'd rather do the trick, just say, hey, here's the method, but rather than spending a time, I'll be over here, and I can show you.
Yeah.
I'll be spending a lot of time with you.
Yeah, and we had a good variety tonight.
Yes,
right.
And the coin guy, you said Colin was
Colin Robinson.
Yeah, Robinson was really good. And the same kind of thing, it's kind of like some of that was just demonstrations. Everybody's looking at each other and saying, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
I can't palm, you know, coins and drop them
muscle
one at a time.
Muscle passing,
you know,
multiple coins hand to hand.
Yeah, multiple coin pass, muscle pass.
Yeah.
That's the first time I've ever seen a multiple muscle pass.
Yeah, it was, and it was flawless and invisible.
Yeah,
it was really good and quiet. It was fantastic.
But it's one of those things, kind of like, well, let me quickly show you. You'll see me later. Yeah, I'll be glad to show you.
And David Parr's lecture, I told him I thought the pacing of that thing was perfect.
Yeah.
Every trick is something people could see themselves doing.
And he set out the agenda to begin with, saying, here are three things we're going to talk about.
Yep.
And he gave the demonstration of the trick and then talked about the points.
Yeah. I wasn't sure, you know, when I pick people. David doesn't naturally come to my hardcore sleight of hand mind, but I am so glad that we met at 4F and got to talking. I'm so glad we brought him in because it was a great variety. And there's tricks he did that I would do.
Yeah,
they were fantastic. So I'm super happy with day one.
No, I've been about the same way. I mean, I've been excited about all the people that I've been able to see, the dealer's room. I've already been looking to buy something.
They are very happy for that. Yeah. They are happy for that.
And also, the way it's all got this laid out and everything. And then you also have prize giveaways and everything.
Yeah.
It's always fun, too.
We have some cool stuff tomorrow. Okay. We have some of the stuff that's kind of the top sellers out there right now.
Cool.
Tomorrow.
Very good.
So it'll be fun.
We will wrap this up with you as we close.
I'll see you at day three.
Right?
We'll talk again at day three.
We will.
All right.
So with the Magic Word Podcast, I was the organizer. That's the guy, Scott Robinson. Scotty up. Now that we have wrapped up day number one, we're going to have a word from our sponsor, New York Magic Conference. The New York Magic Conference is coming up on Saturday, November the 16th. It's only for one day. It's a one-day conference. You can come in and out. It's in Douglaston, New York, which is in around near Queens, actually, in New York City area. And they're going to be featuring this year the Magic Makers, that is manufacturers of magic. And I've got someone with me today who's going to give us a little bit more detail, Mr. Richard Cohen. Hey there, Richard.
Hey, Scott. How are you?
I am fantastic, and I'm so excited to hear about this one-day convention. Can you give me a little bit more details as to who's going to be there and where's it going to be?
It'll be a lot of fun. There's a great slate of people. It's going to be in Douglaston, Queens, New York, at the community center. I'm going to be talking a bit on a couple of different topics, including ArtCon, Xanadu Magic. But other people will be doing presentations. They include Joe Devlin, Todd Harris, Bill Schmilk, Joe Petiri, Adam Cardone. There'll be a performance at the end that'll probably include some of the speakers, as well as Thomas Solomon and Holden Summers. It's being organized by Robert Dadris, who's organized several previous conferences like this. And I think it should be a lot of fun and of great interest, particularly if you like magic history and magic props.
And because this is going to be just a one-day event, it is not going to be held in a hotel or banquet room. It's actually going to be where?
In the Congregational Church Community Center of Douglaston, which is also just two blocks from the Long Island Railroad Station, in case you plan to stay in New York City and want to take a train out to Douglaston. It's the very first stop on the Long Island Railroad going east.
There you go. So there is no place as far as a hotel that is sponsoring this, so you're going to be on your own.
I was saying, in a way, it's a mom-and-pop operation. It's a beautiful place, but it's very much, you know, down home. It's not a convention hotel. It's a one-day thing.
For those of you who are going to NEMCA, which will be the weekend before, I would suggest that you might stick around, go see a play or two, and visit New York and see some of your friends while you're there. It is, I love the city. I love going to visit when I can. And if you get a chance, then plan on doing both, going to NEMCA and then over to New York Magic.
There's a lot of good magic in New York City right now, different shows and things. Of course, there's a lot of good eats. Another good reason always to come to New York.
Absolutely. Some of the best corned beef in the world. So many other great places to wine and dine. But yeah, other shows, Speakeasy Magic, Monday Night Magic, and others, Steve Cohen's show, etc. So lots of things to see and do. And so you can go to NewYorkMagicConference.com, is that right?
Yes, that's
NewYorkMagicConference.com. And if you are interested, then there's a link there that you can register via email. It's only $65 in advance, but $85 at the door. So make your reservation soon, because this did sell out last year. It is a fairly small event, but one that you don't want to miss. So, Richard, thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott. And another reminder, I believe it includes lunch. So you'll hang out with everybody rather than going someplace else.
Such a deal. Don't miss out.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Richard. Now let's talk with some more people for day number two of Trix. The second day has almost begun. We are just down here getting our morning eye opener, getting a cup of coffee here. And one of the first persons I ran into here this morning as we get started in the lobby. The doors have not yet opened for the lecture hall because the first thing starts at 11 o'clock, I believe. That's right, with Paul Gertner actually starting to do his one-man show. And I ran into, there are all kinds of people here. This happens to be the president of the International Brotherhood of Magicians, Mr. Mike Dunnigan. Hey, good morning, Mike.
Morning, Scott. How are you?
I'm fantastic. So, as far as the convention, the IBM, then this is your new year. How are things going? I mean, what, as the president, you go to a lot of conventions. What number is this so far since the IBM?
Oh, gosh. At least maybe number six.
Wow, already
like
here.
That.
You can't be going to any more. It's almost done.
I think this is my last one for 24.
Yeah.
And then, of course, pick up in January again. And they're January, February, March. Man, they're endless.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, really. No kidding. How many have you been to?
Well, this year I think I cut back to like 7 or 8.
Wow.
So last year was like 13 or 14, I think. But,
well, you know, take up magic and see the world, right?
That's exactly right. Speaking of seeing the world, now next year is going to be FISM, and you'll be actually August will be after your term has ended.
Yeah, somehow FISM, I love them to death as an organization, but how they managed to miss my term as president entirely is beyond me.
And kind of lay it on just as the IBM is going to be meeting in Houston next year, almost.
Yep, that's right. It's right after the July convention, July 9th through 12th, Houston, Texas. Just thought I'd mention that.
That's why I wanted you to plug it. Tell us about
thank
it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Have you got
that.
Some acts booked already?
We do have some acts that are just about to be announced. Of course, we announced our guests of honor just about 2 weeks ago. Ads and Genie and Linking Ring announcing it. But we're thrilled.
And who's that?
Yeah, well, we're thrilled to have our guests of honor, Christy and Randy Pitchford, as our guests of honor for Houston. It should be a lot of fun to hear from them what they see as the future of magic and the role that organizations play, and, you know, not to mention hearing exciting things, I'm sure, about the Magic Castle and what their plans are there.
Sure. As an aside, by the way, as I was flying in on my magic carpet yesterday on Southwest, I was watching one of the movies, and it's called Borderlands.
Yeah.
And as it came on, I always pay attention to the producer, and this was a Blumhouse. And I love Blumhouse because I love horror.
Right.
But also, it was Gearbox Studio, and I thought, I know Gearbox. And I said, I wonder if Randy knows they've been using his logo over there. And then I see that it was executive produced by Randy Pitchford. It's like, oh, well, of course, and Borderlands was his game. And let me recommend that movie, by the way, with Cate Blanchett and Jack Black. Yeah, and Chris Hart. It was just a delightful movie. I loved it.
That's great to know. I've not seen it yet. Some of its publicity has not been the best, but the cast, how can it not be at least an enjoyable movie, because it has a phenomenal cast?
Well, we can really spiral off, you know, talking about this, but one thing that really hit me about this is how Cate Blanchett is the star action hero, and she's like 54 years old or something, to have, number one, a strong woman in that kind of an action character where she's shooting people and rolling around doing all these flips and everything, and to be older like that. I applaud Randy or whoever the casting director was. It wasn't Victoria Burroughs. I know her well, but it was another Victoria, I think, who had done this casting. But I was so amazed and thankful that they did put a woman like that to show how strong a woman could be in her older age. It doesn't need to be like a Harrison Ford again, you know. Putting on his hat and grabbing the whip again,
right.
You know. But I just loved it. I thought it was great. Good casting.
No, that's great. Well, I will definitely put it on my must-see list here sometime soon.
There you go. So, that's enough of a movie review. So, as far as this convention, have you come to this a lot in the past?
I am a Trix newbie. This is my first, and yet it's just down the road from me. I'm in Atlanta, and of course, we're in North Carolina now. So, it's relatively close. So, shame on me for not making it before. But for years, I've been hearing people talk about what a phenomenal convention this is.
Yeah.
And I have to say, pardon me, as you can tell by my voice, if the first evening was any indication of what's to come, it's going to be a terrific convention.
Well, and you're just scratching the surface. Obviously, last night with just a few things that have happened, and today we're going to be having then these insights, which are like TED Talk type of things, as well as, of course, Paul Gerter doing One Man and other kinds of things they do really special. And different awards they give, not awards, but prizes, like you won last night.
Hey, I was the first one out of the barrel. I was excited. That doesn't happen very often, particularly when you've got a Wheel of Fortune that has 200 names on it or whatever was sitting there. That's right. So that was a nice way to start.
A good way to start. Yeah. One of 40 people who are the newbies over here. And and so I'm sure after you've gone through the rest of this, you're going to say, I want to come back again the next year.
I have no doubt. Yeah. I have no doubt. Yeah. Hopefully this is the first of many, many times to come.
Yeah. And so next year, I mentioned FISM. Are you going to be going to Blackpool by chance?
Don't know yet. That's still a debate going on as to whether or not I'll make it to Blackpool. Of course, just got back a month or so ago from the Ring 25 British Ring convention there, which was a blast.
It's always massive, isn't it?
They do a good job with it, and they draw a good crowd. I'd say they probably had maybe 300, 400 people.
Was that all? I was thinking closer to 1,000 or something.
I don't think it was quite that large this year, but they run a great convention as well, so I was really impressed with the job that the entire crew did. It was a lot of fun. So, yeah, just got back from that a month or month and a half ago. Still haven't figured out if I'm going to be able to make it back to Blackpool, but, boy, I would love to.
For the few conventions that you have already attended, and you don't have to say what your opinion is about this one so far, since you really haven't gone through all of it, which one have you, I mean, you've enjoyed them all, but what kind of sticks out in your mind about some of the conventions?
Wow. Well, of course, Tacoma was great. You like that settle?
Yeah, that's the IBM convention where you came in. Sure.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, I have to give it a nod. Honestly, the British Ring did a terrific job because I love the culture that they have established there. It was a friendly group, very hospitable. I did go, honestly, interestingly enough, I perform as a mentalist, right? But I honestly think my favorite convention so far was Kadabra, which is held in Chattanooga, or was this past year, and it's primarily family and children entertainers. And it was phenomenal. The people who attended were having a blast. The show that they put together, the 3.5 days that they put together, is so well planned out. But more than anything, the people who attended and had so much joy about them at that convention. Just everybody was very outgoing, very friendly, very accepting. They even allowed a mentalist like me to take part. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
One other one, by the way, next year, if it's not on your radar, you got to think about it, is the Collectors Expo. In particular, next year, I know that's going to sell out because not only is it in Las Vegas, and Bill Smith always does a great job with this, but also David Copperfield is opening his museum, so we get a chance then to go see that.
That's great. That is wonderful. I have been fortunate enough to be able to tour David's museum before, and it's beyond description. It really is just phenomenal.
That's a good description, beyond description.
Yeah. I'm very alliterative like that.
Yeah, well, you're good.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Descriptive.
But at any rate, honestly, so far, Kadabra may take the top prize as far as my favorite.
There we go. So have you been to Corndabra?
I have not.
Corndabra? I've not. I'm going to try to go this year. And I've heard that's a lot of fun. Similar, a family kind of
thing. Uh-huh. I agree. Chuck Arkin, who was president last year, I know, attended and said he had a wonderful time. So it is definitely on one of my strong possibility lists. That's right.
Possible list.
That's right. Possible list.
Well, Mike, good seeing you again. I'm glad you're enjoying the convention, and I know you'll enjoy the rest of it. Not that I hope, I know you'll enjoy the rest of this convention.
Well, thanks, Scott. I appreciate it. Look forward to the next few days and seeing you throughout.
Yep, good hanging out. Very good.
So, the
Magic Word Podcast. So that's International President Mike Dunnigan, International President of the IBM, Mike Dunnigan. Because we might run into the SAM President here before it's all over. Who knows? Scotty out.
We just finished listening to the first activity of the day, which was Paul Gertner's lecture, actually. I thought he was going to be doing a one-man show, but I guess that's coming up later. This right now was his lecture talking about different ideas that he had come up with and his various performances for Penn and Teller Fool Us, and the times he did and the times he didn't, and why that each worked and why things didn't. And it was just a powerful lecture and really good. And he's a good performer, a lot like the fellow that we're talking with right now, Michael Blumicki. Hey there, Michael.
Hello.
And I say another great performers because Michael is someone who you may recall we talked with him during the Magic Texas convention because he was one of the competitors who actually moved on and will be going then next year to FISM in Turin, Italy. And you got to be one excited guy.
Oh, I should be rehearsing more. I'm still in the period where it's not too close, so I'm not too stressed out yet, but I need to be rehearsing. One big thing was my table that I'm working with was a gigantic pain. It's just this wooden thing that I screwed together.
You got to bring that whole thing with you.
So hopefully not, because I screwed this whole thing together, and it was the right size and proportions because I want to be standing up and everything. And so I didn't want to change it because it was too close to FISM in Texas. And so I thought, okay, I'm just going to do this. But I redesigned it with like threaded inserts so I could just hand screw it. I don't have to bring a drill. So it's just a screwdriver and a socket wrench, and the whole thing collapses into a duffel bag, just a duffel bag filled with lumber. And I brought like five backups of every prop, and so it's just so much stuff, and it was the biggest pain to get on the airplane. I have like a trash can that didn't fit in my bags. My trash was my carry-on, which got a lot of weird looks, and it was just a pain. And like I said, I didn't have a lot of time before, so I was like, I don't want to change it now. But now that I've got time, I'm working on a new table, something a little more convenient. And I actually saw Pat... Pat's Mats. He's got a nice table, which actually I think is perfect. So I'm going to talk to him about maybe custom making something the proportions
the right
that
size,
I need.
Right.
The legs fold up, and it'll be a lot better. So I'm excited about that. That's one of the biggest improvements more recently, and I'm thinking about ways of choreographing it to make it a little cleaner because there's some sloppiness.
You don't want to change too much because in the whole act, because they booked you based upon that. They liked it, you know. So a lot of times I think some people overthink it and they try and tweak it too much. But, you know, a person would win an award to move on, and then they move on. They're going to say, how come you didn't do that act? You know, this is the one we booked.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah. I know that I can't fundamentally change it. I don't know exactly where the line is, but obviously I'm not going to show up doing a card trick or something because that would be that might get me kicked out.
Let me give you a suggestion. I know that it is going to be kind of a hassle to bring a table and everything over there. It could be worth your time, money, and effort if you actually went over sometime between now and then to Turin, Italy, or someplace in Italy if you have a contact or a friend or someone who you can work with. Stay with them for a while, for a week or two, and actually make the table, make your props, get some things that are ready, so that way you don't have to ship something over. It's something you know that will work for you. So when you go over, it's already waiting for you because you constructed it, and then you can put it back together.
I'll get tables all over the world.
That's exactly what I'm saying, particularly if it's going to be something. I mean, that's a real commitment, you know.
Yeah, I think... Well, one thing I have is I know how to build it. So my thought was, like, the worst case scenario was in Texas, I'll go to Home Depot and I'll just Build it there.
But you may not be able to go there. They don't have a Home Depot. They got IKEA over something, you know. But
I know, I forget his last name, Rodney. He was at Texas. He and his son. He's got a thing in Spain, a theater in Spain. He was telling me I'm welcome to stay there. He says for a lot of FISM competitors, they'll go to his theater beforehand to run through it and rehearse it
a little more.
So I'm going to definitely take him up on that. If my thing's easy to carry, then that'll be great. But yeah, having something prepared there would be great. The biggest changes I'm making is mostly just trying to clean up everything, choreography, make it all smoother. And I have an idea for adding another ending to make a little stronger. But for the most part, not changing too much. Mostly working on just method improvements. There's a significant method improvement I want to make because I don't think it's... I don't know. I feel ridiculous talking about... Obviously, I'm going into this trying to win. But however realistic that is or unrealistic, we'll see. But right now, I don't think it's realistic, so I need to work on the method a little bit
more. The
best
advice people say about going into a contest, or whether it's a local contest or FISM, is have fun.
Oh, absolutely. I had a great time doing it, and everyone seems to like it.
Yeah.
I like just afterwards hearing people say they enjoyed the act, and it's a very, very good feeling of just, this is something I created. Here's something that's very much my sense of humor, and that people liked it was great. And so I'm not trying to get too caught up in the competition side of it, because I'm just excited to be participating. But also, I'm going to try to win.
For those who are wondering and thinking, okay, I know that act, but what are you talking about? It's quite unique. It's the one that's got the robot arms.
Grabber claws.
Grabby claws. So that's the guy. Okay, so now they remember. I just wanted to point that out. Speaking of conventions, so how are you enjoying Trix this year?
Trix is my favorite convention. I guess we'll see how FISM goes, because that's technically a convention.
By the way, I like your hat, Italia.
You've got
an Italy hat.
So I have a hat that says Italia, and I brought it because I just, I'll wear a hat, and I brought it to Texas not thinking about it, because I was like, here's this. And then I had it, and I was like, I don't want to wear this around, after I got announced. I was like, does this make me look too pretend, too full of myself? Does that look bad? But that was ended up being kind of a joke in the People's Choice Award, where I was wearing the hat, because I was like, I screwed up some of the stuff, because I made a Lance Burton joke that...
I thought that was very funny.
The Lance Burton joke was great.
It landed.
So I'll answer the convention. But the bit was basically Lance didn't show up, and I had a joke about that. And so I wanted to commit to it. I didn't want to accidentally get into the muscle memory of, I go through the motions, and then I just accidentally load the orange when I wasn't supposed to. So I didn't even... I got rid of the orange. It was in my bag, and so I couldn't have done it. So I didn't even go through the motions, which threw me off. So I did the joke, but certain props needed to be positioned the right way, and they weren't. The whole thing got thrown off, and so at one point I have a trash can. I threw the wrong cup away, and stuff was just going wrong. And so again, this being kind of a joke where I don't care. I'm already going to Italy. Yeah. So that ended up being kind of a joke, and I had the hat.
Yeah.
But this convention is my favorite. This was my first convention I've ever been to. I want to say 2017, around that time. That's the first convention ever, and this is also just my favorite convention. If there was one convention I could only go to ever, it would be this one. What is it about this that makes it special? Jokingly, obviously, FISM would be the one I'd want to go to. But this one is fantastic. What I always tell people that I love about Magic is that it's big enough for it to be this international thing with competitions and all over the world, but it's also small enough to be a community where it feels like everybody knows everybody. You go to the conventions and you see the same people. And Trix is like that, but just more so than any other convention, where it's a lot of the same people. It's very, very high quality in terms of the lectures, the talent, the just community, but it's also pretty small compared to other places. Like Texas was enormous.
Right.
But here it's like 200 people, something like that.
Yeah, 166, I think.
So even smaller. Yeah, so it's just there's a lecture room, and then there's the kind of the lobby where people hang out.
Overflow, yeah.
So it's just the space. It's very easy to just talk to people. It's a lot of the same people, so a lot of friends meet each other. The first time I showed up, I was like, I don't really like... I'm not the kind of person where I want to go to stuff alone. I'm not going to go to the state fair alone.
I understand.
I don't know. But I went anyway, and I just had this overwhelming feeling of just welcomeness, where it's just everyone... If I'm even kind of enjoy card tricks, then everyone wants to be your friend. It's just everyone's incredibly welcoming. People come up to me, what are you working on? Show me something.
Sure.
There's no feeling of I'm not very good at this, but you're a really good magician. There's no skill level imbalance, nothing like that.
Everybody's
It's just a lot of fun, very high quality, and just it's a good tradition. A lot of the same people. It's just a good community.
There you go. So think about coming here next year. It's going to be another good convention, but he always sells out, so make sure you register in advance.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely sold out this year. A lot of people... there's every year on the on Facebook, it's like, hey, is anyone not going to Trix that I can take their spot? So if you want to go, it's...
Yeah, and they had 40 new people who have never attended. You know, they were first-timers as well. So he has had some room for some people who have not come. But, Michael, congratulations again on moving forward to FISM, and we'll be seeing you, I'm sure, between now and then.
Hopefully this time next year I'll be... Here's
holding
my
a trophy.
Hopefully next time next year, here's my act that won, and I'll show it to everyone.
Yeah,
so.
Right. For the Magic Word Podcast, that's Michael Blumke. Scotty out. Well, we're about to wrap up and finish day number two. I'm sorry. Yeah, I guess it is day number two. Yesterday, Thursday being a half day, we can call that a day. Today's a day then, too. And we just were having pizza and just finished up a bunch of really good shows, and we're going to be talking about that because the last person we just talked with was Michael Blumke there, and we talked about Paul Gertner giving his lecture. And I've got here right now, giving a little bit of color about what happened this afternoon, is your friend of mine, Jeff Williams. How you doing, Jeff?
Hi, Scott. I'm doing great. Wow, this is an incredible convention. For those of you who weren't able to be here or didn't know about this, it's just one of those little golden secrets that they have every November up here in Charlotte. So I recommend that you try to get here because it's incredible.
How many of these have you been coming to?
Well, I was in 2009. I was one of the hired guns.
Yeah.
And then I've been able to only come back a couple of times since then. But now because of circumstances, I think I'm going to be coming back pretty much every
year. On a more regular, and even though you're not performing, just because it's so cool to hang out with everyone who's here.
Yeah, there's just some amazing people that show up here. You know, Mike Powers and Ray Cosby and
Boris Wilde.
And Boris Wilde and you. And, you know, I mean, it's just, it's really wonderful. There's a lot of stuff going on, so love it.
It really is. And Scott Robinson does a great job putting this whole thing together, and I like the variety. And he said earlier about how that what he had done was to actually have some more international acts today, which we did. And one thing that we began with was Bernardo Sedlicek right after Paul this afternoon, and Bernardo just gave a great lecture.
Yeah, he's from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, and he's got that Spanish influence that I absolutely love. I can watch this guy, you know, probably just arrange cards in whatever stack he uses. It's just because he's so amazing, and he's so much fun, and he's having so much fun. You automatically have fun just watching him.
And that's true.
And everything that comes out of his hands is just a miracle.
And if you had the time, you could actually attend one of his 10-hour workshops.
That's right. Yeah.
He does. He's got so much to talk about.
Yeah. Know? Yeah, he's amazing. I mean, you go to either his lecture, his master class, or his show, and you're going to see how it's done right.
Well, today he did teach one. Not oil and water. He taught an out of this world effect, which was really great, and I'm going to use that routine. And then the rest of the hour was spent talking about his philosophy and theory, which was really interesting, I thought.
Yeah, he's got a penguin magic lecture that, you know, is worth getting just because he really goes into depth about the real work.
Well, then this afternoon we had another great session, which was called Insight. It's kind of like a TED Talk type of thing. Everyone had like about 10 minutes to talk, and you know, one guy that comes to mind is Terry Tyson, who was talking about working as a keynote speaker, or you know, doing workshops or doing a magic show of what you can present to audiences.
Yep, and Jason and Stacey Allen, you know, we're talking about, you know, how she got involved in magic and mentalism and stuff, and it's fascinating.
Leaving her full-time job to become a full-time magician.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. No, it was really great. I mean, David Parr really hit it out of the park, and I totally enjoyed these because they're like little, you know, 8 to 12-minute snippets. And, yes. And they're just so...
Just enough to whet your appetite.
Yeah, they're so informative, you know. Yeah,
Monty had talked about adding music to your act and non-copyrighted material because he writes music. And so he was talking about the importance of music in your act.
Yeah, it really caught me off guard because I didn't really know some of the ins and outs of that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And so it's nice to have a resource like him.
And talking about the... some things that we don't know or think about and that is Rick Wilcox was talking about illusion building and how that even though once you get an illusion, how you have to fix it because it doesn't always work for you. And the cost of all these, I mean, like even the casters, you have to spend $200 per caster or something, and that may not work. You got to put something else on.
Yeah, I mean, it was ridiculous about how he would get, you know, a big illusion and then have to fix issues that he found. And it's just, you know, it was really eye-opening because I don't do that kind of thing. And so it's interesting to see how the other half lives.
Especially,
you know,
because this is a close-up convention, and he was talking about illusions being, having his own theater, being an illusionist himself. And so that was really great. And then rounding it out then was John Graham talking about his book, Stage by Stage. Is that it? What's it called?
Yeah, Stage by Stage. It's
going from close-up to stage, basically changing.
Yeah, and it's how to put together a show. That's, I think, super important. He talks about, you know, the beginnings and the middles, you know, the openers, the middles and the endings. And it's just, the guy really knows his stuff. And he hit it out of the park tonight in the show. You can tell. He had a great set.
Which leads me then to tonight's show, which was emceed admirably by Tiffany. Alan, I was going to say Tiffany Wilde. I don't know if Boris Wilde sent his wife. I don't know if she go by Wilde or still by Tiffany Allen. I think it's still Tiffany Allen.
Still Tiffany Allen, I believe.
But she was just amazing. Bernardo was just on fire. There he is right now.
Hey, hello, everyone, to the Magic Word Podcast, the best podcast I even hear at home. So it's good to see all of you. Technically not see, but you got there.
Yeah. Good job this evening then also.
He has no pants on, by the way. It's weird.
So imagine that. Keep that in your mind also. Yes. Get that image.
That's where you get the term Brazilian.
So he did fantastic in this evening's show, and John Graham did some amazing things, which he did a torn, restored paper, and then handed out the paper. And then he did the card selected from a sack, in which that
a rope,
and then he handed out the rope.
He handed out the rope, yeah. So, I mean, he caught a lot of us by surprise.
Exactly. And so his act was really good. Pippo from
Pippo Villanueva from Spain, from Madrid. Wow.
That's all I can say is wow.
He's so much fun, and he was hilarious.
It looked like it was sloppy because he kept dropping cards.
Well, he had him spraying all over the place, and it was, you wanted to feel sorry for him, but you were too busy laughing. And then it turns out it was, you know, kind of a ruse, but it was so beautifully done. I can watch that guy, you know, all day long.
Boy, he was just amazing. And then closing out the show, of course, was Paul Gertner with a half hour out of his 90-minute act. It was kind of hard for him to try to pick and choose how to do all that. But he was just spot on, and obviously it was well-scripted and heartfelt and meaningful, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty much the antithesis of my show. It really was. He made me want to be a better magician. Yeah. He's a myth. He's a legend. And his chops are still as good or better than anybody, you know, else around. So he was so much fun to watch.
He's into retirement, I think, perfectly from doing trade shows and everything. And since he's moved to Boston to be with his grandchildren and his daughter and everybody out there. So he's found his niche, I think, to do a one-man show out there. And I'm sure he's just knocking it out of the park because he's doing this all the time. So if you get a chance to go to Boston, you got to see his show. He's amazing.
Yeah, and he's truly one of the nicest guys on the planet.
No question about that. Yep. Absolutely. Well, Bernardo's getting ready to do a workshop right now. It's a special kind of a thing.
Have your attention,
so,
please.
In fact, I think that's it. Just a moment. So I think that's about it. We're going to have to... Yeah, we were just getting kicked out of the room over there so they can start the workshop because it's a special event. It's another $100 a piece for people to do that. Anyhow, Jeff, thank you very much.
Thanks, Scott. I appreciate it.
And so we see more of you tomorrow then as well. Well, I don't know how much more we can see of you or how much more we can see of Bernardo since, as you said, we're all wearing no pants tonight. This is no pants night. It's pizza and no pants night. Is what this Yeah, we're just having some pizza and a lot of fun. And I want to remind everybody that this particular episode of the Magic Word Podcast is brought to you by our sponsor, who is the New York Magic conference, which is coming up again on November the 16th. So be sure and go to their website and check that out. It's like $85, $65 in advance or $85 at the door. So that's going to be on the 16th of November. So go and check out the website if you get a chance to be anywhere near New York City. It's going to be there in Douglaston, just near Queens. So go and check them out. Thank you guys very much for sponsoring it. And also, thank you very much, Jeff, for being on the podcast this evening. I think that's probably enough for day number two. That was Jeff Williams, and this is Scotty out.